26, 27. So in the 46th chapter, in the beginning we have seen Krishna had sent Uddhava to Vrindavan to pacify all the Vrajavasis who were in a state of deep separation from Krishna because of Krishna's departure from Vrindavan to Mathura. So Uddhava came to Gokul somewhere in the evening time, and the whole ambience of Vrindavan village is wonderfully described. After that he met Nanda Maharaj. He went to his home and Nanda Maharaj started speaking so many words inquiring about the welfare of Krishna and welfare of the Mathura relatives, and expressing his deep sense of separation and love and affection, how they were suffering when Krishna is away from Vrindavan, all that he explained. So the remembrance of Krishna's beautiful leelas, his hasitam, bhashitam, so these are the source of their sustenance, and also that remembrance would even distract them from their regular duties, their other responsibilities. So like that Nanda Maharaj in various ways expressed his love and affection in separation from Krishna. And Sukadeva Goswami is continuing now. Iti samsmritya samsmritya Nandaha Krishna Krishna anurakta dhihi Atyutkantho bhavat tushnim Prema prasara vihvalaha Iti samsmritya samsmritya. Remembering all these activities of Krishna again and again. Nandaha Krishna Krishna anurakta dhihi Dhanya vrajastriya urukrama chittayanaha. In that verse, Yadohana verse, what is the third line? Gayanti Jaina Manurakta Dhyoshir Kantyo. This Anurakta Dhihi is experienced by our Nanda Maharaj also. Gopis also are Anurakta Dhihi. Nanda Maharaj is also Anurakta Dhihi. So Anurakta Dhihi means completely absorbed in absorbing one's mind and intelligence completely in Krishna. That is Anurakta Dhihi. Atyutkantho bhavat tushnim. Ati utkantha. They are extremely anxious, all the devotees of Krishna, especially Vrajavasis. So, prema prasara vihvalaha. Sort of pure love by the force. Prasara is force. What is the force there? What is the pressure there? Prema. So, prema prasara vihvalaha. They are completely overcome by their force of love for Krishna. No, Yashoda Mayi. Yashoda Varnaya Varnyamanani Putrasya Charitani Cha Srinvatya Srunyavasrakshit Sneha Snutapayodhara. Yashoda Varnyamanani. So now Yashodamai has heard this Varnan of Krishna. Nanda Maharaj was recollecting so many incidents that happened with Krishna. So Yashodamai was sitting there next to Mananda Maharaj, and then she was hearing all the descriptions of Krishna's activities. Putrasya charitanicha, son's activities. And Srinvatya Shruni Avasrakshit, by hearing that, from tears, ashru, from the eyes, tears were flowing. Ashru were flowing very profusely. And sneha snuta payodharaha, and from her body also the milk is flowing. The love flows in the form of the milk from a mother. So like that she was experiencing her separation. So from that very day when Krishna left Vrindavan to go to Mathura, Mother Yashoda, though consoled by, counseled and consoled by hundreds of men and women, could see nothing but the face of her son. She kept her eyes closed to everyone else and cried constantly. Thus, she could not recognize Uddhava or treat him with parental affection, ask him any questions or give him any message for her son. She was completely overwhelmed with love for Krishna. So, Yashodamma's love for Krishna is like little more deeper than Nandamara's love. Women are more affectionate and more emotional compared to men also. So, although their feelings are almost equal, still Nandamara's could just come out of his way and then receive Uddhava nicely and then give him some hospitality, speak some few words, and then expressed his sentiments for Krishna. But Yashoda could not do so. When Krishna was taken by this Putana, then Putana eventually manifested her gigantic form because Krishna started sucking her life air and she fell down. She died. Krishna was just about 6 days old at that time. So then other gopis, motherly gopis in Vrindavan, they went to Putana's body and then picked up Krishna and gave Krishna to Yashoda and Rohini. So at that time, Yashoda Mai could not speak a single word. She became so helpless and all her limbs were completely, what to say, withdrawn from any physical activities. She could not act appropriately according to that situation. She was so shocked and astonished, and to come out of the shock was a big project for Yashoda Mai. She could not do a single thing for the protection of the baby. Then all the neighboring ladies took lead and then they performed so many rituals and purificatory ceremonies, and they applied cow dung tilak on Krishna's body at 12 places and they washed his body with cow urine and then goraja, and then so many achaman and then so many other mantras they chanted, and whatever was there within their disposal and within their knowledge they did, so that Krishna could be protected. So, although Yashoda Mai was the mother of Krishna, she could not take any lead or not even participate in these purificatory ceremonies or protecting rituals of Krishna because she was so overwhelmed with shock. Same thing here also. So, when someone is too much shocked, too much overwhelmed, he won't be able to act properly. So, she could not even recognize Uddhava. Oh, he is looking like my son only like that. She could not manage to identify that. 29th. So why Yashoda Mai is not described here? Why she is not speaking anything? Nanda Maharaj is expressing so many things about Krishna. Why Yashoda Mai did not speak? Because she could not even speak because of her feelings towards Krishna. So not that someone who expresses only has substance. Someone who does not express anything may have much more substance within him than the person who actually expresses also. Sometimes it happens. That doesn't mean he's useless. Right? So Yashoda Mai is not speaking anything and her things are not very elaborately described because she did not speak much. Right? But she was so overwhelmed, that's why she is unable to speak.
Tayoritham Bhagavati Krishne Nanda Yashodayoha Vikshyanuragam Paramam Nandam Aho Dhavo Muda. Uddhava then joyfully addressed Nanda Maharaj. Having clearly seen the supreme loving attraction, he and Yashoda felt for Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead.
So Uddhava could notice Nanda Maharaj through his words and through his expressions conveyed his feelings of separation from Krishna. Mother Yashoda, through her shock and astonishment and emotional turmoil that she was undergoing, she also communicated how much love she had for Krishna. So Uddhava could understand. So no ordinary parents would feel so much of love for their child. In fact, all the emotions on the spiritual platform are in transcendental bliss. So the anguish that Nanda and Yashoda were undergoing cannot be compared to the anguish that we may see in this material world. So it's all loving ecstasy. Ram laments in the separation from Mother Sita, and Sita laments in separation from Lord Ram. So Hanumanji was wondering what's happening here. But it took a while for him to figure out what is the reason for it. As Acharya has explained in the fifth canto purports, it is spiritual vipralambarasa. It cannot be compared to the whatever exchanges that happen between materialistic husband and wife in this world. Now Uddhava started speaking. Sri Uddhava Uvacha. Yuvam shilaghyata maununam. Dehinamihamanada. Narayane khila gurau. Yatkrita matiridrishi.
Sri Uddhava said, O respectful Nanda, certainly you and Mother Yashoda are the most praiseworthy persons in the entire world, since you have developed such a loving attitude toward Lord Narayan, the spiritual master of all living beings.
So, Uddhava also understands, although he is also an exalted devotee, he also understands that greatness of Krishna, his supreme position. So he said, you have developed such intimate affection towards the Supreme Lord Krishna. Narayane Akhila Gurau Yat Krita Mati Ridrishi. He is Akhila Guru. Uddhava's perception of Krishna is Akhila Guru. That's what he is mentioning now. So you have developed affection towards him. So your affection is most praiseworthy. So the Paribhasha Sutra of Krishna Leela, as described in the 8th chapter of 10th canto, is 45th verse. Tvaya chopanishad bhishcha sankhya yoga ischa sattvatayhi upagiyamana mahatyam harim samanya tatmaju. So that personality who is being glorified by Upanishads, Vedas, and who is worshipped by various processes, sankhya, yoga, etc., etc. So such a personality is considered as a son, a baby, a child by this lady. Right? Harim sa amanyata atmajam. He is my son. That is all her perception is. From her perspective, Krishna is no more than her son, who deserves her protection, and without her maintaining him, feeding him and taking care of him, caressing him, he cannot conduct himself properly. He may even die. That is her perspective towards Krishna, right? Harim samanya tatmajam. Upagiyamana mahatmyam. His mahatmya is being glorified by all these Vedic scriptures. But that mahatmya is not relevant for Yashodamayi. She only considers him her son. So, now, that loving attitude towards the Supreme Lord is highlighted, and that is being recognized by Uddhava. In the dealings between himself and Yashoda and Nanda. Next, yetau hi vishvasya cha bijayoni ramo mukundaha purushah pradhanam anviya bhuteshu vilakshanasya janasya chesha ata imau paranau.
These two lords, Mukunda and Balaram, are each the seed and womb of the universe, the creator and his creative potency. They enter the hearts of living beings and control their conditioned awareness. They are the primeval supreme.
So now he glorifies both Krishna and Balaram, their condition. Ramo Mukundau Purushaha Pradhanam. So they are the originators of this material creation. Right, so are each the seed and womb of the universe, the seed and womb, pradhanam. And they enter the hearts of living beings and control their conditioned awareness. The awareness of a living entity is not unconditioned, it is conditioned. Now you are aware of what this person might do, or to some extent might think, or to some extent might see or interact with people or dealings, whatever his activities, you are aware. But that awareness is not absolute. It is conditioned by your limited perception of that person and limited revelation of that person's actual internal consciousness through his actions. Whatever is there within his internal system consciousness, he cannot completely put it through his actions. He cannot completely present. And you are observing those external actions to a certain extent, not all also, and then becoming little aware of what he is, what a personality he is. So thus, our awareness of another person's activities or the natural phenomena can never be thorough. So there is always a limitation, that is conditioned awareness. So who is controlling this? So why that kind of limited awareness is there? That is being orchestrated and overseen by the Supreme Lords, and that depends on one's own previous disposition that makes him conditioned to a certain extent like this. So how we misuse or use our free will, so that allows us to enter certain species or bodies and then have awareness to that much extent only. So one cannot be aware completely. An eagle who flies high in the sky can be aware of so many things in this vicinity, much more than a person can, a human being who stands on the ground can be aware of. But what kind of awareness is that? It cannot completely make out. The eagle may see many things, but it cannot, it's there. Everything that it sees is not relevant for it. Right? But a human being, whatever he sees, some of these things may be relevant for him also. Right? The relevance, now for eagle, what is relevance is a cat is just going from this house to that house. That is irrelevant. I can come and then catch it and eat it. But a human being is not like that. Cat means bhaganika. That is his perception. Right? So all our activities are quite conditioned to this body. Because we are in this body, say human body, Maharashtrian body or whatever, Indian body. So we are all bound by certain limitations. We are conditioned completely. And why we attain this kind of body? Because of our previous background. And who has made this system? He has to get this kind of body at this place with these limitations. And he has to undergo this much happiness and suffering. Have this kind of perspectives and understandings. Who has made this system? Krishna. So that's the same thing. They enter the hearts of living beings and control their conditioned awareness. So here, vilakshana means distinctly perceiving or confused, depending on how the prefix V is understood in the context. In the case of enlightened souls, vilakshana means perceiving the correct distinction between the body and the soul. So Krishna, and as indicated by Ishate, guides the spiritually advanced soul. The other meaning of vilakshana is confused or bewildered, clearly applies to those who have no understanding of the difference between the soul and the body. So that same word vilakshana can mean two opposite things in the case of conditioned soul and in the case of liberated soul. Next, 32. Yasmin janah prana viyoga kale kshanam samavesya mano vishuddham nirhritya karma shayama suyati param gatim brahmamayorka varnah tasmin bhavanta vakhilatma hetau नारायणे कारणमर्त्यमूर्तौ भावं विधत्तां नितरां महात्मन् किं वावशिष्टं युवयः सुकृत्यम्.
Anyone, even a person in an impure state who absorbs his mind in him for just a moment at the time of death burns up all traces of sinful reactions and immediately attains the supreme transcendental destination in a pure spiritual form as effulgent as the sun. You too have rendered exceptional loving service to him, Lord Narayan, the super soul of all and the cause of all existence, the great soul who, although the original cause of everything, has a human-like form. What pious deeds could still be required of you?
And even a person in an impure state, if he absorbs his mind in Krishna at the time of death. Yasmin janaha prana viyoga kale. This viyoga is not from Krishna. Viyoga is separation. Prana viyoga means you getting detached from your prana. Means that is the time of death. Departure from the body. यस्मिन् जनः प्राणवियोगकाले कृष्णं क्षणं समावेश्य मनोविशुद्धं. एट द टाइम ऑफ डेथ इफ यू आर एबल टू थिंक अबाउट कृष्णा इवन फॉर अ मोमेंट व्हाट विल हैपन इट विल बर्न अप ऑल ट्रेसेस ऑफ सिनफुल रिएक्शंस एंड इमीडिएटली अटेन्स द सुप्रीम ट्रांसेंडेंटल डेस्टिनेशन. निहृत्य कर्माशयमासु याति. ऑल कर्माशयम द एस्पिरेशंस फॉर fruitive results, they will be burned. Karmashayam udgrathayanti santaha yatpada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya. So that is the process of bhakti yoga. All the karmashayas are gone. Pivantiye bhagavata atmanasatam kathamvrtam shravana puteshu samhrutam punantite vishaya vidushitasayam. Our ashaya or the aspiration in this life is contaminated by vishaya, material enjoyment. That can be burned to ashes if one hears Krishna katha, if one remembers Krishna, especially at the time of death. So, nirhritya karmashaya masuyati param gatim brahmamayo arkavarnaha. So, that arkavarnaha means that destination, brahma gati, gatim brahmamayo. Gati is destination. So by remembrance of Krishna at the time of death, one will achieve a destination which is Brahmamaya, purely spiritual, and Arkavarnam, very effulgent. Natad bhasayate suryo na shashanko na pavakaha yad gatva na nivartante tad dhama paramamam. So that abode, supreme abode of the Lord is self-effulgent, like the sun is self-effulgent. So it is not externally illuminated by some sun, but it is already effulgent like the sun, right? So, after saying this, Uddhava says, Tasmin bhavantav akhilatma hetau narayane karana martya murtau. So, now you both, bhavam vidhattam nitaram mahatman, so you both have experienced, you both have rendered exceptional loving service unto that Narayana, that super soul, akhilatma hetau, the cause of all existence, the great soul, who although the original cause of everything has a human-like form. So now you have acquired such wonderful service, what pious deeds could still be required for you? No other fortune is needed for you. No other piety is needed. Sukrityam. So the ultimate aspiration is of any living entity is to be reinstated in his original consciousness as being a lover of Krishna, a servant of Krishna, like that. Now they have pure love for Krishna, and just because Krishna is out of station, out of Vrindavan, they were piteously crying out of love for him. So what else is needed? This much love, if one can attain, that is sufficient. Their life is successful. That's what Uddhava is experiencing now. Uddhava is given this opportunity to witness such pure, unalloyed love for Krishna, which is available only in Vrindavan, in the entire cosmic manifestation.
Agamishyatya dirghena
kale navraja
machyutaham प्रियं विधास्यते पित्रोर् भगवान् सत्वतां पतिः आगमिष्यति अदीर्घेण. कृष्ण इज कमिंग नाउ वेरी सून. अदीर्घेण मीन्स नॉट सो लेट, राइट. सो इनफैलिबल कृष्ण द लॉर्ड ऑफ द डिवोटीज विल सून रिटर्न टू व्रज. कालेन व्रजम अच्युतः अदीर्घेण कालेन, इन ए वेरी शॉर्ट टाइम ही विल कम. प्रियम विधस्यते पित्रोर, पित्रोर मीन्स पेरेंट्स. सो टू सैटिस्फाई हिज पेरेंट्स, प्रियम भगवान सात्वतांपति, दैट लॉर्ड ऑफ डिवोटीज, दैट सात्वतांपति विल कम वेरी सून टू वृंदावन. सो दिस इज द मैसेज गिवन बाय कृष्णा टू उद्धव. यू टेल माय पेरेंट्स दैट आई एम गोइंग टू कम सून. यू हैव सम पॉइंट.
Previous verse, like he said, anyone who remember Krishna. So if a sadhaka who has not attained the perfection, who has not attained the love of Krishna, but he at the time of leaving body, he has association of devotees, and by external arrangement, he is able to think about Krishna. So he will go back to.
Of course, he will go back to God. If Ajamil can remember Krishna by through the medium of calling his son, then what to speak of the fortune of a devotee who is leaving his body in the midst of devotees who are doing kirtan?
It's not necessary that one have developed like swarupa, he knows his form, spiritual form, then only he can go back.
See, there is a mercy factor. There is definitely also a sadhana factor. A deservance is also there, mercy is also there. And if still one has some traces of enjoyment left within his mind in spite of practicing devotional service for an entire lifetime, probably he may not go back to Godhead, but certainly because of leaving the body in such a wonderful and exemplary way, he will certainly continue his devotional life somewhere. Right? But mostly, if he remembers Krishna, definitely he will go back to Godhead, whatever may be his background. So, for example, Ajamil, he did not immediately go back to Godhead. He was released and he was given a second chance. Similarly, one more opportunity to render pure devotional service will be given to such a person. Certainly, the desires of a living entity will be acknowledged by Krishna. I am not yet ready to come back to you, Krishna. If that is the disposition of a living entity, why will he take him? He will inspire you to come there. But if we insist that I still want to enjoy here, then okay, fine, no problem. But I acknowledge your service also. I acknowledge your desire, but I acknowledge whatever service you have done also, whether loving service or dutiful service or whatever. I will definitely acknowledge that and give you a better destination where you have more opportunity to purify that enjoying mentality and develop purely devotional mentality. That is there. And this is my understanding. But for someone who has completely dedicated his entire life to glorify Krishna, then he will certainly go back to Godhead. Na uttama shloka vartanam jashatam tat kathamritam syat sambhramunta kaale pismaratam tat padam bhujam. If the life is led in a way of dedicating all one's activities, body and mind and words in Krishna's service, Krishna will force his remembrance upon such a person. Yeah, I will orchestrate your death in such a way that you will come back to me. I know this is good for you. But if you insist upon staying here only, then all the best. Still, I will not leave you. That is his disposition.
Hatvakam samranga madhye pratipam pratipam sarva sattvatam yadahavaha samagatyam Krishna satyam karoti tat.
So continuing your the topic, ultimately mercy factor is there, everything is there,
devotees will help us and then Krishna will help us. But one needs to constantly question oneself whether that desire to enjoy on a material plane, whether it is increasing or decreasing. The selflessness to render service to the Vaishnavas and Krishna, is it increasing or decreasing or conditional? So that responsibility lies within us. We are responsible for that. All these external superimpositions will help or will not help, that's there. Certainly, many times they may help, but they will not help us against our innate desire to enjoy on a material plane. They will inspire us to give up those desires, but ultimately we have to give up. In spite of practicing for several years also, there are so many desires or anarthas or whatever, hankering for name, fame, position, prestige, certain privileges, all these are there. So that we are responsible for it.
There are not so much desire to enjoy, but there is not pure love for Krishna also. Correct.
That's the best stage for sadhaka. That is the stage, good stage for sadhaka.
There's no like yeah, or
if we have that longing and love for Krishna, we are pure devotees. We don't have it, but we are longing to develop that longing. We are hankering to develop that hankering for Krishna. That's good stage. That we are on the positive plane. And some things are pulling us back. Fine. Continue to hanker and these hankerings will go away and that hankering will achieve. But this force is more and there is no inclination to go that side, then we will be pulling. These are pulling us definitely. But there is also a desire that to go in that direction. Once this desire slackens, and this desire increases, then we are just, again, that's the process of straying away from the process. So, when we are learning cycle, small children, they learn cycle, right? So, I was learning cycle. My father's cycle is like that big, and I was so small. I cannot reach that height. I cannot climb and sit on the top of that seat. So I'm just trying, and then this, the triangle is there, right? You put your leg in between that, and then you hold the seat like this, and then do like this. So I did that several times, but how long I will do? I'm getting a little restless. I want to climb on the seat. So I was climbing and falling down. I'm getting a little injury also here and there. So one of my father's colleagues in his office, he saw me. He said, why are you trying so much? Relax. He was making fun of me. But I just laughed and then I continued. So, when you continue, one day you will climb on the seat and your leg also will stretch. Your body also will develop to sit. But to sit on the seat, we have to do this half riding. What is that called?
Kaichi.
Kaichi is scissor, na? Scissor, by the way. Kaichi you have to do till you catch the seat. But you give up the desire to sit on the seat only, you are satisfied with kaichi, you are satisfied walking, you will never attain the cycle. Right? And that's how bhakti, it's a small child tries to walk, he will walk, get up and then do put 2-3 steps and then fall off. Again he will get up. Catch the wall or catch the finger of mother, catch the finger of some elder and then somehow try to walk and he will continue. But falling down will be there. So that is the stage of sadhaka. But you are happy falling down and getting up. Happy fall down, get up, like that. Happy struggling. But if you stop the struggle, then haribol. 36. Makhidyatam, no, this we have not read. Having killed Kamsa, the enemy of the Yadus, in the wrestling arena, Krishna will now surely fulfill his promise to you by coming back. Makhidyatam mahabhagav. Drakshatah Krishnamantike Antarhridi Sabhutanam Aste Jyotir Ivaidhasi.
O most fortunate ones, do not lament. You will see Krishna again very soon. He is present in the heart of all living beings, just as fire lies dormant in wood.
Just as fire lies dormant in wood. He is always there. So you should not lament, because already fortunate. Ma khidyatam mahabhagav. You should not lament because you are mahabhagav, you are most fortunate. Uddhava understood that Nanda and Yashoda were very impatient to see Krishna. And thus he reassured them that Krishna would come soon. Nahyasyasti priyah kaschin.
Nahyasyasti priyah kaschin.
Na priyo vastyamaninah.
Na priyo vastyamaninah.
Nottamo nadhamo vapi.
Nottamo nadhamo vapi.
Samanasya samopiva.
Samanasya samopiva.
For him, no one is specially dear or despicable, superior or inferior, and yet he is not indifferent to anyone. Mm. He is free from all desire for respect and yet gives respect to all others.
Nahyasyasti priyah kaschin. Kaschin, no one is dear to him. Na apriyo vasi amaninaha. So, amani means who is free from desire for respect. Amanina manadena, right? So, na apriyo. So, no one is dear to him, nor anyone is not dear to him. He is neutral to everyone. No one is superior to him, na uttamo, na adhamo vapi. So no one is, he does not have these conceptions of superior or inferior, like that. Oh, this person is good. No, this person is not good. For me, he is a superior person, this is an inferior person. That kind of discrimination he doesn't do. Yet he is not indifferent to anyone. He is free from all desire for respect, and yet he gives respect to all others. So all Trinadabhi Sunichana qualities are there in Krishna. Yet he, when he discriminates between people, that is based on their disposition. So now I give this example generally to explain this. When you are distributing prasad, someone wants one spoon rice, you give one spoon rice only. Someone wants 2 spoons rice, you give 2 spoons rice. One chapati, one chapati. He wants 3 chapatis, give him 3 chapatis. I am equal to everyone. Everyone should eat 4 chapatis because I want to give 4 chapatis to everyone. I don't want to say so many chapatis. No, you have to eat. I am equal to everyone. That doesn't happen. So similarly, Krishna also is reciprocal. And he is giving preference to demigods or demons or devotees or non-devotees. We should need to understand that he is reciprocating with their disposition. So that is the real equality. Treating them as they deserve. Deha nata jata jatha. You need to respect all living entities. Right? Mana deena. But you should understand the gradations of living entities also. Otherwise, why Rishabhadev gives the gradations of living entities? Why Kapiladev gives so many gradations of living entities? Like movable entities, immovable entities, then aquatics, then later ghosts, then human beings, brahmanas, and all that. There are a lot of gradations, right? Third canto, you remember? 29th chapter, third canto. Gradations of living entities. Dehanata jata jata. Sakala sammana karita shakati dehanata jata jata. So sakala sammana is a principle. Everyone has to be respected. But it's not like flat, everyone has to be given this much amount of respect only. Dehanata jata jata, as much as they deserve. We also need to interact with people like that. Whatever respect one deserves, that much respect we have to give. Sannyasi means prostrated dandavat. Brahmachari means normal dandavat. Right? Like that. You can put prostrated also, but sannyasi ke liye normal dandavat nahi. So, as much as one deserves. 38. Namatana pita tasyam. Nabharya nasuta dayaham. Natmiyo chaparasyapi. Nadeho janma evacham. What kind of description Uddhava is giving? You need some time? You can adjust. You don't have to adjust.
Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.
na mata na pita tasya na bharya na sutadayaha. He has no mother, no father, no wife, no children, no relatives. No one is related to him. Yet no one is a stranger to him. A very bewildering description. He has no material body, no birth. All this will not make much sense to Nanda and Yashoda. What you are saying? He is my son. Yes. That's all we know. We don't know anything else. All your description is like general. Same thing, gopis are, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they are like quite sober in their dealings. But gopis, they completely make, nullify Uddhava's statement. Sir. What your message you are giving? Ye letter lehne ke liye kedar. Keep this letter with you. Krishna will do the same thing with Dwarka women also, Mathura women also. Give this letter to them. This is not applicable to us. Like that. That is the disposition of gopis. Nachasya karma va loke sadasan mishrayo nishu kridartham sopi sadhunam paritranaya kalpate.
Birth in pure, impure and mixed species of life. Yet to enjoy his pastime and deliver his saintly devotees, he manifest himself.
Nevertheless, although Uddhava is giving this kind of descriptions of Krishna, they are not redundant descriptions. Although Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai are above such discussions, their love for Krishna is above this kind of definitions or descriptions of Krishna, yet in this context, Uddhava had to speak all this. Why? Because that is the reason for which Krishna has left Vrindavan. Just to do paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam, to protect the sadhus and to annihilate the demoniac people. So that is the purpose. He descends for enjoyment and he is not obliged by anything. Yet he has no work to do in this world that would oblige him to take birth in pure, impure, mixed species of life. Yet to enjoy his pastimes and deliver his saintly devotees, he manifests himself. He has to deliver the saintly devotees at Mathura also, at Dwarka also. He has to kill the 23 Akshohinis of Sayana that Jarasandha is going to bring now. 17 times. He has to do all that. That is the reason exactly that Krishna spoke to Radharani also when he was leaving Vrindavan on that night when Akrura came. He had to personally speak, please, you should not feel so morose. I have this duty to perform. So please allow me to do it. Like that, for our sake. Sattvam rajastama itim bhajate nirguno gunan kridan atitopi gunaihi srijatyavati hantyajaham.
Although beyond the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, the transcendental Lord accepts association with them as his play. Thus he unborn Supreme Lord utilizes the material modes to create, maintain and destroy.
Sattvam rajastama iti bhajate nirguno gunan. Although he is nirguna, he accepts these gunas and does the creation, maintenance and destruction. All this is like krida, play. Kridan atitopi gunaihi. It is like a play for him. And srijati avati hantyajaha. That is creating, maintaining and destroying. So, prajavasis are not meant to hear these lessons of creation, maintenance and destruction. They are beyond all this. But still he had to mention this. So this is another beautiful purport. Very short but deep. Although the Lord does not favor or abuse anyone, as described in the previous verses, 37th verse especially, we still observe happiness and suffering in this world. Gita states, Karanam gunasangosya. We desire to associate with various qualities of material nature, and thus we must accept the consequences. See this beautiful line. We desire. Why there are sufferings in this world? We desire to associate with various qualities of material nature. Karanam gunasangosya. Because we have the inclination to take the sangha of gunas. That is the karanam. That is the reason. If we have the inclination to associate with devotees of Krishna, then we will have devotional aspirations and we will have devotional destinations. But if our Sangha is with gunas, then we will be entrapped in these gunas. So we are responsible. Our association with certain mode is based on our choice. So we are responsible for it. And because we make one choice, we helplessly attain certain stage where we have to embrace certain another guna or another flavor of that guna without any choice. This was because of our previous choice. So one choice will just make you enter into a whirlpool of various choices where you have to choicelessly embrace certain choices and then just be in this whirlpool of gunas. So, karanam gunasangosya. The Lord provides the field of material nature in which we exercise our free will. We exercise our free will. He has made a system and He has thrown us into the system because we desire to enter that system. Once we enter that system, you have also some independence to make certain choices within the purview of the system. And you enter a deeper region of that system. And within that, also you have some scope to make certain choices. And you will be more and more entangled, and then you will be so conditioned that your choice list will become very small. Right? Now there is like one arena, two, three, four. You go to an exhibition mall. For example, a mall is there. In that mall, there are, say, 100 sub-malls. In a big shopping mall, there is cloth section, there is shoe section, there is belts section, there is cap section, there is lipstick section, there is earring section, there is a tie section. What else is there? There is a powder, that cosmetic powder, there that is section, that is another section. So like that, there are so many sections, 100 sections are there. Now it's your choice. And like that, there are 100 malls are there. And like that, there are 100 cities are there. Then 100 countries are there. 100 planets, 100 universes, like that. So, just you chose to come to this mall. Within that mall, you entered just one shop, one section. Within that section, there are so many subsections. Within that section, there are sub-sections. So now you make one choice and then you enter, with that choice, you enter one smaller arena. And in that, you have more choices. Within, you make one choice and enter one section, one subsection there. Within that, there are so many. Now you want to purchase some ornaments. Okay, gold or silver? Or copper? Or plastic? Or stone? So now you made a choice, golden ornaments only. Within your gold, you enter. And within that gold, there are so many. Long, small, thin, patla, 24 carat, whatever, 4 carat. So like that. You go deep, 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 and then you pick up one. Right? And that one will entangle you for a certain amount of time. So now a deeper choice. So like that we are responsible. The Lord provides the field of material nature in which we exercise our free will. Free will factor is there at every stage of life, in every species of life. How we organize that free will make us come out of these layers of entanglement and finally come out and then see this whole material world like this, oh, from an external point of view. Now we entered that arena and then we are seeing it. So our vision is always contaminated with attachment or detachment. But when you are outside, we can actually envision it with a neutrality. That way. So foolish non-devotees not only attempt to cheat the Lord by trying to exploit His nature, but when they suffer the reaction, they blame God for their own misdeeds. You have done a misdeed by making a wrong choice, and you are blaming God. So this is the shameless position of those who are envious of God. So we need to understand that we are responsible. After a few chapters, this will come. Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra simply says that things are just moving on and I am helpless. I have affection for my son and I am unable to correct him, and then things already moved to a certain extent. Now I cannot undo. I cannot press Control Z. You should not have typed it only earlier. You are thinking about control Z. Once you press control S, your control Z will not function. You have to manually delete. You type something, and then you may press control S. Save ho gaya. Then you can delete. Control Z dabane se jane jata hai. Then you have to remember what kind of thing I have done, what mistake I have done. Then you have to go to that place, that arena, and then remove it. So some decisions that we make will just make the situation so freezed that we cannot undo it very easily. Okay, Desh India, undo it. Control Z nahi daba sakte aap. Control S hone ke baad control Z nahi, it will not function. You have to exactly remember where you have done what. And sometimes it is irreplaceable also. In Photoshop, you merge layers, right? There are multiple layers. As long as you keep these layers of images intact, then you can do editing. You know Photoshop to some extent. So every objects are placed. Now you see on this cover page, there is this painting, and there is Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada, then Srimad Bhagavatam. This is one layer, this is one layer, this is one layer, this is one layer. And within this image, there are so many layers. For example, this mountain is one layer, Krishna is one layer, Balramji is one layer, their effulgence is one layer. Now, you chose to merge Krishna and Balram layer. Means their positions are fixed and you are unable to move them. Now, if you want to move Balramji that side, not this side, or you can't do it very easily. You have to do a lot of work. Similarly, one decision will make us helpless that we can't undo it so easily, and we cannot undo it at all also. So we need to be extremely careful in making certain choices by using our free will at our disposition. So free will is always there. So ultimately, we can never blame anyone for what happens in our life. So that's what Dharma did. When Parikshit Maharaj questioned Dharma, what did Dharma say? Bull, in the form of bull. You figure out. Apratarkyat anirdeshyat. So, Parikshit Maharaj can easily make out that Kali is the cause of the suffering of Dharma and Dhara. But he wanted a statement of accusation. Okay, let the person who is suffering give a statement about the culprit. Then it's easy for me to arrest him and then punish him. So he wanted a statement from Dharma. But Dharma said, I cannot point out who caused my suffering. Different philosophers say different things, different means of suffering. So I will not point out. You figure out with your own intelligence. So someone who is aware of Dharma, someone who is a devotee of the Lord, will not point out someone as the cause of his own suffering. He may give credit to another devotee for receiving certain happiness, some ecstasy, some pleasure in life. But he will not blame someone that because of him, iske wajah se sab ho gaya. So he said, sometimes we may do that. But Bhagavatam doesn't say that. You cannot point out. That doesn't mean you have to be in Avadhut style. You can't be prematurely transcendental and then create confusions in your dealings, managerial transactions. That's not the message that we are giving. Be practical. Don't be prematurely transcendental or Avadhut style, may we can't function. But ultimately that should be the understanding. You may point out, Prabhu, I think this should not have been done. So next time be careful, all that you can say. But ultimately, it must be having some reason. That also, that acceptance of whatever mishap has happened, that acceptance should be there, and addressing should be there, and an attempt to avoid it in future also should be there. But one should not hold one person responsible for it. Right? And then make someone villain or demonize him. So, next. Yatha Brahmarika Drishtya Brahmayat Brahmyativa Mahiyate Chitte Kartari Tatratma Karteva Ham Dhyasmritaham
Just as a person who is whirling around perceives the ground to be turning, one who is affected by false ego thinks himself the doer, when actually only his mind is acting.
Now you raise, small children do that. You raise your hands like this and then rotate. As a play he is doing it. And then he stops and still the world is surrounding around him. Right? So now because of your movement in the last 1 minute or 2 minutes, you are perceiving the world as rotating, but it's not rotating, you are rotating. Now you are also not rotating, but the effect of your previous rotation made you perceive the world like this. Getting right? You stopped rotating. World also is not rotating anyways. But why are you perceiving that rotation? Because of the previous, your own previous action. Clear? Our own previous dispositions will make us perceive something which is not the truth. Just you try to edit and try now. Just as a ghumo. What is that called? Rotate. Then spinning. Then you will see the whole world spinning. And you are also spinning, although you stopped spinning. Because many times we experience things based on our past activities. We just receive the reactions of our past activities. And we perceive things based on our past mentalities, but currently it is not true. That's why Pratyaksha Praman has its limitations. Although our happiness and distress are caused by our own interaction with the material qualities, we perceive the Lord as the cause. Lord, you have done this. Yivayor eva naivayam Atmano Bhagavan Harihi Sarvesham Atma Johyatma Pitamata Sa Ishvaraham.
The Supreme Lord Hari is certainly not your son alone. Rather, being the Lord, he is the son, soul, father and mother of everyone.
So he says this. Drishtam Shatram Bhuta Bhavad Bhavishyat Sthasnusche Charishnur Mahadalpakamcha Vinachutadvastutaram Navachyam Sa Eva Sarvam Paramatma Bhutaha.
Nothing can be said to exist independent of Lord Achyuta. Nothing heard or seen, nothing in the past, present or future, nothing moving or unmoving, great or small. He indeed is everything, for he is the Supreme Soul.
So nothing is independent of the Lord. That's why when we equate the universe with the Lord, that has some sense. That is not wrong, because the universe being the energy of the Lord is not different from the Lord. It is not independent from the Lord. So yet, it is different from the Lord also. Simultaneously one and different. So because it is dependent and its existence is dependent on Lord's existence. Then the Lord is not existing, why would this universe exist? So nothing is independent. He is the basis. So sir, what is that verse? Six questions by Narada Muni. Yad rupam yad adhishtanam. He is adhishtanam of everything. So Uddhava is relieving the distress of Nanda and Yashoda by bringing them to more philosophical plane. He is explaining that since Lord Krishna is everything and is within everything, he is pure devotees are always with him. Evam nishasa bhruvator vatita nandasya krishna Krishna anucharasya rajan gopyah samuthaya nirupya deepan vastun samabhyartya dadhinya manthan.
While Krishna's messenger continued speaking with Nanda, the night ended. O king, the woman of the cowherd village rose from bed and lighting lamps, worshipped their household deities, then they begin churning the yogurt into butter.
Now the transition from Uddhava's interaction with his with Krishna's parents to Krishna's gopis will come now. So although Uddhava tried to bring Yashoda and Nanda to a philosophical plane, still their affection for Krishna is on a Vatsalya plane, which is beyond the regular general philosophy. After Uddhava counseled or consoled them, did they give up their affection for Krishna and they become passive? They become neutral and philosophical and detached. No. When they met Krishna at Kurukshetra, even after, like Krishna is like more than 100 years old. So even after such a long time, after several decades also, when Yashoda and Nanda met Krishna at Kurukshetra, still their Vatsalya feelings towards Krishna did not slacken. So philosophy cannot console such exalted devotees. It's on an emotional plane, not an intellectual plane. So intelligent people can be convinced by philosophy, but emotional people cannot be convinced by philosophy. Whether it is material emotion or spiritual emotion. This is spiritual emotion, what to speak of? Material emotion. So even materially also, this lady, Kritadyuti, she was so affected when Harshasoka died. So philosophy will not make sense to her. She cannot be consoled because she is not speaking on an intellectual plane. Emotions got affected like that. So that is material emotions. These are spiritual emotions. They are beyond this plane, philosophical plane. That will be more vividly seen in the example of the gopis. So it's Nanda and Yashoda case is not described beyond this. But now let's see the gopis thing, reaction. So night ended, means whole night they were discussing like this. Now the women of the cowherd village rose from the bed and lighting lamps, worshipped their household deities. So they did their morning regular duties and they came out. Tadipa diptair manibhir virejau. Rajjur vikarshad bhujakankanasraja. Chalannitambastanahara kundala. Tvishatkapola runa kunkumananaha.
As they pulled on the churning ropes with their bangled arms, the women of Raja shone with splendor of their jewels, which reflected the lamp's light. Their hips, breasts, and necklaces moved about, and their faces, anointed with reddish kumkum, glowed radiantly with the luster of their earrings refracting from their cheeks.
A similar description is given of Mother Yashoda in the beginning of Damodar Leela. What is that verse? Before that or after that? Kshaumam vasaha prutukate thate vibhrati sutranaddham. That verse. So the entire description of Mother Yashoda, how she wore a yellowish saffron sari while she was churning the butter. So something similar is mentioned here. 46th verse. Udgayati namaravinda lochanam. Vrajanganam divimas prishadhani. Dadhanascha nirmanthana shabda mishrito. Nirasyate yena disham amangalam.
As the ladies of Vraja loudly sang the glories of the lotus-eyed Krishna, their songs, blended with the sound of their churning, ascended to the sky and dissipated all inauspiciousness in every direction.
Udgayati nam aravinda lochana. All these lotus-eyed, all these ladies were glorifying lotus-eyed Krishna. Udgayati nam, loudly singing the glories of Krishna. Vrajanganam divam aspurshad dhani. So their dhani, their sound of their churning and their songs, they are ascending to the sky, divam. And Dadhanascha nirmanthana shabdha mishrito. That their songs are mixed with the background sound of churning, which is like a mridanga. Mixed with the sound of their bangles, which is like kartals. Right? That ascended to the upper planets and sky. And nirasyante yena disham amangalam. It is completely vanquishing all the inauspiciousness in all directions. So Krishna Katha can vanquish the inauspiciousness in all directions. Glorification of Krishna. That too, when it is done by such pure devotees like Vrajavasis, Vrajanganas, then the effect of that purification is unimaginable. So glorification of Krishna is having a purifying effect. But to what extent can the glorification of Krishna purify? To the extent the glorifier has purity within himself. If the person who is glorifying Krishna is purified from within, that glorification will create a purifying effect for those who are hearing that glorification. Otherwise, then it's little superficial, external only. Internally, he is not cultivating that purity, cultivating that love and affection. Or maybe, if he is speaking from an intellectual plane, that will catch the intelligence of the audience. If he is speaking from a mental plane, that will tap the minds of audience. If he is speaking from heart, that will reach the heart of the audience. So, depending on the disposition of the speaker, the audience will be affected that way. This is what His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj says once. So, however, we need to understand that we don't speak exactly what is there in our minds. If we start speaking it, then people may run away also. So, we speak what is there in the mind of Uddhava, of Sukadeva Goswami, of Prabhupada, of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So, sometimes by our great fortune, some things may sink in and they will come out. Right? So that way, but as much as possible, we need to speak whatever is mentioned in the scriptures, the pure sound vibration.
In the description that Uddhava and Buddha described, that is very nice, but generally the heart feels that we are in great sorrow.
Yes, yes. They are doing their household activities. So my understanding is they are doing their household activities, but they were overwhelmed with feelings of separation from Krishna. In those feelings of separation, they are remembering Krishna. That remembrance he has seen. But however, this is a very generic description that happens early in the morning or late in the evening when Uddhava is entering the village. It's a generic description or the specific description on that particular day. What exactly is the difference? If they are all lamenting, why everything is happening as if it is normal? So, one perspective is Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. And they are doing all their household duties, remembering Krishna, that is definitely true. And also Nanda Maharaj says, we are unable to do our duties because Krishna is not with us. So, in commentaries we may find something, but otherwise, I don't know. 47.
But it's about the point you mentioned, like potency of Krishna Katha depends upon how, by the level of the speaker it's coming through. So it's, I felt like it's like limiting the potency of Krishna Katha when it's coming to the speaker.
No,
it's always
It's not limiting the potency of Krishna Katha. Krishna Katha will purify the speaker also. How will he purify himself? Tathapi kirtayamyanga yathamati yathashrutam kirtim hare swam satkartum giram anyabhida asatim. So we will speak Krishna Katha, although we don't have the ability or purity, so that our speaking of Krishna Katha will purify us. To the extent we are seeking that purification, seeking that we have that pure motives, to that extent that will affect the other person also. Right? So now there are two kinds of pure devotees. Again, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj says that in 2007 lecture. Two kinds of pure devotees. One is actually a pure devotee. Second, one who is attempting honestly to be pure, to become pure. He is not yet pure. That aspiration is also pure. Either you are already pure or your aspiration is pure. That's to that extent I am saying. If you have pure aspiration, that is also fine. 47. When the godly sun has arisen, we didn't read this verse, right? Bhagavatyudite Surye Nandadvari Vrajaukasaha Drishtvaratham Shata Kumbham Kashyayam Iticha Bruvan.
When the godly sun had risen, the people of Vraja noticed the golden chariot in front of Nand Maharaj's doorway. Who does this belong to? They asked.
They saw the chariot of Uddhava, golden chariot. Looks like it came from Mathura. They saw and they were not happy seeing it. So many mixed feelings appeared in their mind seeing that. Let's see what they say. Akrura agatah kimva. Yaha kamsasyartha sadhakah. Yenani to madhupurim. Krishna kamala lochana. Akrura agatah kimva. Akrura has come back again or what? Earlier he has taken our life. Now did he come back to take our dead bodies? Why did he come here? To that extent gopis were unhappy with Akrura. That's why Akrura was affected. Earlier also, just a couple of days back also, some chariot came to take Krishna away. That means taking our life away. Now he has come to collect our dead bodies to please his master Kamsa. He is Yaha Kamsasya Artha Sadhakaha. Kamsasya Artha Sadhakaha. He is the person who fulfills the purposes, artha, of Kamsa. Right? He is a representative of Kamsa from their perspective, gopis' perspective. Yena nito madhupurim Krishna kamala lochanaha. So, how did he fulfill the artha of Kamsa? By taking away Krishna, lotus-eyed Krishna, to Madhupuri. Next, the gopis were very angry speaking this. They were not very happily speaking this. The sight of a chariot from Mathura invoked such kind of feelings. And this anger is not a malicious anger. This anger is a form of their affection for Krishna, their love for Krishna. Because they love for Krishna, they are just kind of angry with the object that separated Krishna from them. That's all. So many times anger is malicious anger or anger filled with very evil intentions, grudging mentality. But there is sometimes one may show anger also out of love, out of concern. You may become angry with that fellow who is going very close to the parapet wall, but you are concerned about his protection. That anger is not malicious like that. So this anger of the gopis is imbued with their love for Krishna. Love for Krishna is more prominent than their anger towards Akrura. Nevertheless, whether it is a secondary product, byproduct or whatever, they were upset with Akrura and Akrura was affected by it. Because he never took out time to console the gopis, as they say in the Viraha Gita. 49. Kim sadhayishyatyasmabhir bhartuhu pritasya nishkritim tatahastrinam vadantinam uddhavogat kritahnikaha.
Use our flesh to offer funeral oblation for his master, who was so satisfied with his services. Mm-hmm. As the women were speaking in this way, Uddhava appeared, having finished his early morning duties.
Mm-hmm. So they were speaking like this and suddenly Uddhava manifested. Sri Sukha Uvacha Tam Viksha Krishna Anucharam Vrajastriya Pralamba Bahum Navakanja Lochanam Pitambaram Pushkaramalinam Lasan Mukharavindam Parimrishta Kundalam Subismita Koyamapi Vyadarshana Kutasya kasya chutavesha bhushana. Iti sma sarvaha parivavrurukshukaha. Tamuttama shloka patambu jashrayam.
Shukdev Goswami said, the young woman of Vraja became astonished upon seeing Lord Krishna's servant, who had long arms, whose eyes resembled a newly grown lotus, who wore a yellow garment and a lotus garland, and whose lotus-like face glowed with brightly polished earrings. Who is this handsome man? The gopis asked. Where has he come from, and whom does he serve? He is wearing Krishna's cloth and ornaments. Saying this, the gopis eagerly crowded around Uddhava, whose shelter was the lotus feet of Lord Uttam Shloka, Shri Hari, Shri Krishna.
Okay. So this is their response. They saw the chariot. They suspected that it must be Akrura's chariot. And they angrily spoke about Akrura. And they saw Uddhava. And he's resembling Krishna. He's looking exactly like Krishna. And he's wearing the paraphernalia of Krishna also. He's wearing the garlands and garments of Krishna. Tam viksha Krishnanucharam vrajastriyaha. So Krishna anucharam vrajastriyaha. All these vrajastriyas gopis have seen Krishna anuchara, his companion. That is Uddhava. Pralamba bahum, he has very strong, long arms. Navakanja lochanam, his eyes are like newly grown lotus petals. Navakanja lochanam. So because these are Krishna grihita manasaha, all these gopis are like Krishna grihita manasaha, means their minds are always captivated by Krishna and they constantly see Krishna everywhere. What to speak of Krishna's replica Uddhava. So Pitambaram, he is wearing the yellow dhoti. Pushkaramalinam, he also wears beautiful garlands of lotuses. Lasan Mukharavindam Parimrishta Kundalam. His Mukharavinda, lotus-like face, is glowing with glittering earrings. Parimrishta Kundalam. So this is the appeal, this is the attire of Uddhava. Uddhava is wearing the same clothes of Krishna. He says in the 11th canto to Krishna, just before the Uddhava Gita, he says, Tvayopa bhukta sraggandha vaso lankara charchitaha uchishta dasino bhogaha tava mayam jaye mahi. Uddhava is telling to Krishna, Tvaya upabhukta, whatever you have enjoyed, the paraphernalia that you have enjoyed, like sraggandha. Sraggandha is all the garlands and flowers and sandalwood paste. Vaso alankara charchitaha. Vasa means garments. And all the alankara ornaments and whatever we have used. Now, daily we use this chandan for applying to the deities. And the maha would come out and in Guru Puja they apply it on your faces, right? Tvayopa bhukta sraggandhaha. And there is flowers to smell. And there is a scent that is offered to the Lord, which is again offered to the deities. So, tvayopa bhukta sraggandha vaso alankara charchitaha uchishta dasino bhogaha. Uchishta means remnants. He eats something and then he leaves it. And that we will take. So, what is the effect of taking all this paraphernalia from Krishna, whether it is prasad, everything is prasad only, whether it is food remnants or gandha, or alanka, this garlands or whatever. That is tava mayam jayemahi. Just by honoring the paraphernalia used by Krishna, one can conquer maya. So how much profuse opportunity we have to come in contact with the paraphernalia of Krishna on a regular basis. So now once in a while some visitors would come to take darshan, right? We just pick up one flower and give them. They are so grateful for it. Oh, Bhagavan ka charan kamal se mila. They value it so much. But every day we get garlands. Right? So when we are in the midst of all that, what to speak of flowers, garlands, it's sometimes we may not value it. Right? In the 11th cant, in the 10th cant only, Krishna himself says, what did he say? He said, Someone who is living close to the Ganges, sometimes he feels that I want to go for a pilgrimage. But you are living next to the Ganges. You can always take bath in Ganges. What can be a better holy Tirtha than Ganges? And he feels that, oh, I have to go to some Tirtha Yatra. You are staying in the Tirtha, that they cannot realize. Like that. So sometimes we also can redevelop our faith by seeing the visitors valuing the flower that is given to them in their hand. Take flowers, flower. Like that. Sometimes when we are offered garland, we will offer it back to someone. So that we don't have to go all the way to Nirmali and then put it there. Right? So all this will happen. So because of too much familiarity. Right? So Uddhava takes the paraphernalia. Uddhava is such a person who is constantly coming in contact with the Maha of Krishna. Krishna's Maha with Uddhava. All the ornaments and the garments, everything he wears are given to Uddhava, and then Uddhava wears all of them. And his bodily complexion and his attire also resembles Krishna. He looks like Krishna only. Suvismitaha koyam apivyadarshanaha. Suvismitaha. Generally, Vraja Gopas dress like Krishna. Now, who is this boy? Who is this person coming from Mathura dressed like Krishna? Sometimes Gopas imitate dressing of Krishna. So they were surprised. Suvismitaha. That somewhere else also this is happening. Suvismitaha koyam apivyadarshanaha. And kutascha kasyachyuta vesha bhushanaha. Kutascha, where did he come from? Whom does he serve? What is his place? Achyuta vesha bhushanaha. He is wearing the vesha and bhushana of Achyuta. Vesha means entire attire, and bhushana are the ornaments. He is wearing all of that. Itisma sarvaha parivavru rutsukaha tamuttama shloka padambujashrayam. So by discussing like this, all the gopis went towards Uddhava. Who is this boy? Whatever is reminding them of Krishna, they would immediately go there. They surrounded Uddhava, although he is apparently a stranger to them. They never saw him. How can women just go and ask another male, approach another male? Where are you from? All of them surrounded Uddhava. Because tam uttama shloka padambujashrayam, pada ambuja ashrayam. So, gopis have taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Uddhava also has taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. So, Uddhava is like a pillow at Krishna's lotus feet for his massage. And how did the gopis go to Uddhava? Utsukaha. Utsuka means with great eagerness. Lack of any reverence. Right, they don't have any reverence towards Krishna. They have no reservations to approach Uddhava now. Without any reservation, they just immediately approached Uddhava to inquire, who are you? Why are you like this? Do you have some connection with Krishna? Can you speak something about Krishna? Like that. Third verse. Tam prashrayan Tramprashrayena vanataha susatkritam Savrida hasa hasekshana sunrutadibhi Rahasya pruchhan upavishthamasane Vignaya sandesha haram ramapatehe
Bowing their heads in humility, the gopis duly honored Uddhava with their shy, smiling glances and pleasing words. They took him to a quiet place, seated him comfortably, and began to question him, for they recognized him to be a messenger from Krishna, the master of the goddess of fortune.
So Uddhava, finally, these gopis recognized Uddhava as a servant of Krishna, a messenger of Krishna. So, tam prashrayena vanataha susatkritam. So, Uddhava, all these gopis, they bowed their heads in humility. The gopis honored Uddhava. Oh, you are coming from Mathura, you are a messenger of Krishna. So, how were they honoring Uddhava? Savrida hasa ikshana sunrutadibhi. Vrida hasa ikshana. By their shyness, by their smiles, and their ikshana glances. Sunrutadibhir. Sunruta means pleasing words. So, like that, they honored Uddhava. So, they took him to Rahasi. Rahasi means a secluded place. It's a secret place. No one should see. Let's have a meeting. Krishna must have sent a very confidential message with Uddhava for the gopis. So all the gopis took Uddhava to a different place. There is one beautiful painting also. So Rahasya Puruchyan Upavishtam Asane, and seated him comfortably. We sit here. Then Uddhava also is very respectful to the gopis. So he sat in certain place with certain disposition and overall demeanor, in a mood of respect towards the gopis. Gopis are respectfully treating Uddhava, and Uddhava is also very respectfully treating the gopis. Right? So seated comfortably, began to question him. And Vignaya Sandesha Haram Ramapatehe. By this time they came to know that Sandesha, he is the messenger. He got the message of Krishna. Of Krishna means, who is that Krishna? Ramapatehe. Ramapati means the husband of Goddess of Fortune. So, Sukadeva Goswami is constantly siding the gopis and addressing Krishna like this unfavorably. Krishna is definitely Ramapati, but in this address, Sukadeva Goswami is exhibiting certain bitterness. Ramapati, not Gopi Manohara or what, something like that. So, it's not that he wants to fill in the chandas and then just put these words. Right, he could have described Krishna in relation to the gopis also and still not compromise on the chandas of the verse, but still he purposely described him as Ramapati. Just he is not very impressed with Krishna's leaving Vrindavan. He is siding the gopis. Okay, so Uddhava sat respectfully. And similarly, Uddhava, in the next chapter we will see, Krishna will go to Kubja. Kubja, Krishna will go to Kubja along with Uddhava, not with Balram. So Uddhava is such a confidential associate of Krishna that wherever Krishna goes, Uddhava can follow him. So although Krishna is going to Kubja to, you know, enjoy, to satisfy her, still he took Uddhava. But although Uddhava is accompanying Krishna, he did not lose respect. When both of them entered Kubja's house, Krishna, Uddhava, Kubja gave seats to both of them. So Krishna sat on the couch and Uddhava sat down. Uddhava did not accept that high seat. I am not as qualified as Krishna to sit like this. So I cannot accept hospitality from this Kubja, who is like a friend of Krishna or whatever. So he maintained, although sometimes a senior person may behave in a friendly way with us, that should not make us become too familiar that we lose respect and then get into little loose dealings or more intimate dealings. That intimate dealings is fine, intimacy, but without compromising on the etiquette, respecting his superior position over us that way. So Krishna did that. Uddhava did it. Uddhava did not become familiar to Krishna. Uddhava did not become familiar with the gopis. He maintained that respect. And respectful addressing, respectful dealings, respectfully sitting like that. So you came promptly to that place. Gopis' love for Krishna arose upon seeing a form similar to Krishna. So the chaste gopis were enlivened to see Uddhava, who is almost similar to Krishna, and their love for Krishna increased more that way. For example, when in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya doesn't agree to meet Prataprudra Maharaj. So Prataprudra Maharaj was hankering to see Lord Chaitanya, and he was sending messages through Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai and others. And he even writes a message, writes a letter to Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, if Lord Chaitanya doesn't see me, I will give up my kingdom. I will become a beggar. I will become a mendicant. Sannyas le leta. Then all the devotees were worried. The king is saying that I will become beggar if he cannot get darshan of Lord Chaitanya. We must go and then petition. All these devotees headed by Nityananda Prabhu and Ramananda Rai, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, Gopinath Acharya, all these people will go to Mahaprabhu at Gambhira to tell something. Then all of them were silent. So Lord Chaitanya says, sir, you came to say something, looks like that, but you don't speak only, what's the matter? Then Nityananda Prabhu somehow gathers courage and says, we are afraid to speak, honestly, but we want to speak. So the king wants to become a beggar without your audience. Then again Lord Chaitanya says the same thing, I am a sannyasi, how can I meet a vishayi? He may be a good devotee, but because he is a king, that's like one drop of poison in a big pot of milk. So I cannot meet him. So finally, he says, Lord Nityananda proposes, if you can't come, then at least give one Uttariya. So seeing that Uttariya, Pratapradhara Maharaj will continue to live, hoping that one day you could show your mercy to him. Then also some insistence came, some pressure came from the devotee side to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya finally said, okay, fine. Son is considered the representative of the father. So you should bring son. Bring the son of Pratapradhara Maharaj here. Then I will meet him. Then as soon as the son came, he was very young and he was just entering his youth. He was dark complexion. He was wearing yellow dress. So seeing the son of Pratapradhara Maharaj, Lord Chaitanya remembered Krishna. He went into an ecstatic remembrance of Krishna. So this boy is just like Krishna only. He is reminding everyone of Krishna like that. So as soon as someone sees something resembling or something common with Krishna, he will just go into ecstasy. Lord Chaitanya sees Chataka Parvat and then says that it's Govardhan. He sees some little parks in Jagannath Puri and he says that it is Vrindavan, and he goes into ecstasy. He cries in madness like that. So gopis are also like that. They saw Uddhava, he was resembling Krishna, and he immediately understood that it is Krishna's representative, and they wanted to speak to him like that. It is the glory of the devotees that they constantly find some reason to remember Krishna. And as soon as they find something that reminds them of Krishna, they go into an ecstatic, overwhelming remembrance. That's what is happening to the gopis also. So you can promptly, gopis love arose upon seeing a form similar to Krishna. Fourth verse. Jarimastvam yadupatehe Parshadam samupagatam Bhartreha preshitaha pitror Bhavan priyachikirshaya.
The gopis said, we know that you are the personal servant of Krishna, the chief of the Yadus, and that you have come here on the order of your good master, who desires to give pleasure to his parents.
Janimastvam yadupatehe Parshadam samupagatam. Gopis said, we know that you are the personal servant of Krishna, the chief of Yadus, Yadupati. Gopis are also describing Krishna as Yadupati. He is not the Vrajendranandan, he is Yadupati. He has become Yadupati. So many implications of criticism are hidden in some false praise. So that we can see here. Yadupatehe. How will he personally come? He is Yadupati. He has become the prince of Yadus. He is in a big post. How will he come to see us? Right? He doesn't care his own people. We are such a simple cowhead ladies playing with cow dung and then cow urine and then putting some lepa on the walls. So we are so simple. So he cannot come. He is in a big post like that. Then Parshadam Samupayagatam. He has sent his servant to see us. It's not that they are impressed with Krishna's sensitivity that he had sent someone to pacify them. He says he did not personally come. He is so big. No, he has sent his servant. So like that, they are speaking in a little sarcastic tone. Next. Bhartreha preshitaha pitror. And that too, pitror, he had sent you to pacify his parents. Not us. Krishna is not very much concerned about us. He just wanted to pacify his parents, that's why he had sent a servant. He is not even remembering us. Like that they are saying. Bhagavan priyachikirshaya. Bhavan priyachikirshaya. Bhavan means your good self. You really didn't want to come. You must be pushed by him. He pushed you. Priyachikirshaya. Why? Why they are saying like this? Why they are suspecting Uddhava's intention that you don't want to come? Because as soon as someone comes in contact with Krishna, he loses the ability to leave Krishna. Uddhava, you are such a personal associate of Krishna, how can you leave Krishna and come here? But he must have pressurized you to come to Vrindavan. Like that. Otherwise, you will not leave Krishna only. That we understand. Because Krishna has that attractive potency. So, but what is, what use he has for his cowherd parents? He is just sending you out of public criticism. Someone may say, or at least, to pacify parents, he had sent some servant. He could not come personally. Or he may not remember you, but at least he is sensitive towards the parents at least. No. He is fearing public criticism. 10-11 years he grew in Vrindavan. If he neglects and if he becomes so indifferent towards his parents, people may criticize him. That's why, just to protect himself from that infamy, he has sent you, Uddhava. Like that. He pushed you and sent you. So like that gopis are saying. So his sharp intelligence has come handy now. He is becoming too smart. Not out of love. Right? They remember him out of affection, but he doesn't. I mean, gopis are saying that we remember him out of our affection. Our parents, his parents remember him out of affection, but he doesn't remember. Otherwise he would have personally come. Why is he sending a servant? So this is the, out of their simplicity, love and affection, they can even criticize Krishna also. So, sometimes one may think that my simple activities may not impress Krishna or Guru. And someone has to be really very great, then only he will impress Krishna. One may think so. Gopis are also sometimes thinking like that. We are simple, unsophisticated village girls. How can we impress Krishna? He is in a big post now, he is Yadupati, and then all the Mathura women who are very sophisticated, very smart and very qualified, more charming, more beautiful, better ornamented, and then they have better dresses, or they can impress Krishna more with their shy glances and other things. So they were thinking like that. However, Krishna is attracted more by the simplicity and innocence, this kind of innocence, than the Pramada, Uttama, this Dwaraka woman also, or Mathura woman also. Uddama bhava pishunamala valguhasa vireda valoka nihato madanopiyasan sammuhya chapa majahat pramadottamastha yasyendriyam vimathitum kuhakair nasekuhu. Krishna's senses will not be perturbed even slightly by seeing the feminine attributes of Dwaraka vasis, Dwaraka ladies, queens. But Krishna cannot control himself when he is in Vrindavan. Especially Srimati Radharani. So, in the midst of Rasalila, when the gopis, Krishna just disappeared and gopis were searching for him. They found Narayana in one bush. Krishna manifested himself as Narayana. And with four hands, all the gopis came and said, Dandavat, Narayana, please show us Krishna. Where is Krishna? Arey, it's Narayana. So we want Krishna. Like that, they kind of neglected and then worshipped only. Because their feelings, their conjugal feelings would be crippled when Krishna manifests any other form other than his own cowherd boy form. And Srimati Radharani came. At that time, Krishna could not hold those two extra hands also. he had to come back into the form of Krishna. Because he is so bound by the love of Srimati Radharani, in gopis in general, and Radharani in specific. He could not even play the trick with Radharani also, to have a game, joke. So in front of Radharani, he could not hold his extra hands also. So he is so controlled by Srimati Radharani. She is Madana Mohana Mohini. Krishna Jagan Mohana, but Radharani is Jagan Mohana Mohini. But it's not the case with Dwaraka Vasis. Dwaraka ladies are Mathura ladies. So Krishna is so attracted by the innocence, simplicity of the gopis. Prataparudra Maharaj has done so much service. Lord Chaitanya is impressed also. First service is, Lord Chaitanya wanted Ramananda Rai in Jagannath Puri. You give up this government service, you come to Jagannath Puri, we will have Krishna Katha with us. So further, Prataparudra Maharaj had to relieve him of government responsibilities, right? So as soon as Ramananda Rai said, I want to associate with Chaitanya, please relieve me from this job. Prataparudra said, you are so fortunate that Mahaprabhu is inviting you, so you should go immediately. Don't worry about your pension. I will give you double salary. I will give you full pension. You can completely be maintained by my government, no problem. You don't have to work for my government. Just be with Lord Chaitanya. What kind of service is that? And when all the Jagannath Puri Vasis came to Navadvip Vasis came to Jagannath Puri without any reservation, Prataparudra Maharaj said, whatever all these devotees, about 200 people came, all these 200 people you should arrange accommodation, prasadam, and whatever they need, you should give. And whatever Lord Chaitanya wants, he should do for these devotees. He instructed his temple superintendent Tulsi and Kashi Mishra, whatever Lord Chaitanya wants, you do. And sometimes he may not even instruct you, just by his indications, you should understand his mind and then do the needful. Like that he did. Such a high profile service, taking care of 200 residents immediately and then arranging whatever he wants, relieving such a responsible person like Ramananda Rai from government service, that's not a small thing. So all these big services he has done, our Prataparudra Maharaj, for the sake of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya is not agreeing only. He is not agreeing to even see Prataparudra Maharaj. He was lamenting. But when did he actually get his mercy? When Prataparudra picked up Jhadu and started sweeping during Pandu Vijaya ceremony. When Jagannath is being brought from the temple to the Ratha, so this Jagannath, this King Prataparudra was sweeping the floor there. Lord Chaitanya saw, oh my God, Uttama Raja Kari Tuchha Sevan. Although he is the best of all kings, Uttama Raja, he is doing Tuchha Seva. In Seva also there are gradations. Right? It is considered most menial, just doing Jhadu. But that simple, down to earth only, directly. You have to bend and touch a Jhadu and the clean earth there. So that kind of service impressed Lord Chaitanya much more than all the high profile activities he has done as a king. To relieve Ramananda Rai from his governmental services, Prataparudra exercised his authority as a king. To order the superintendent Tulsi and Kashi Mishra to arrange everything for all the residents of Navadvip who came to Jagannath Puri, he exercised his opulence as a king. As a king he did it. But when he was sweeping the floors, what did he do? He has given up his position as a king, all his upadhis, and just sweeping the floor. So when you give up your upadhis and take up some most simple menial task, that can impress Lord Chaitanya's heart much more than the great accomplishments that you do holding on to some post. Definitely. I'm just emphasizing on the humble menial mood. Someone who is holding a great post and then serving from there can also impress Krishna. That does not mean whatever Prataparudra Maharaj has done services, Lord Chaitanya is indifferent to them. He has accepted those services. But what impresses the Lord is that a mood of being so humble and down to earth than sticking to upadhis and then being a great accomplisher of great tasks, Herculean tasks or whatever. That simplicity of heart is more important. Mahaprabhu is not impressed with the scholarship of the Buddhist philosophers, Bodhacharya, or Tattvavadis in Udupi, or many other people. He was impressed with the simple devotion of that illiterate Brahmana in South India who was not even pronouncing Gita verses properly. And he was impressed with the simple devotion of Ramdas Vipra, who invited Lord Chaitanya and he did not even cook for him properly. He was invited for lunch. Ramdas Vipra did not cook. Then what did Mahaprabhu say? Why you didn't cook? He invited me for prasad. Then he gave such a reply that if you are in Mahaprabhu's place, you will become angry. Mujhe bulaya kya, kuch pakaya nahi, nothing is there. He said, Lakshman went to take sabji and Sita is waiting for sabji to cook. So that is the response he gave. He was so absorbed in Ramayana and that impressed Lord Chaitanya much more. Lord Chaitanya said, my God, what an absorption he has in Ram Katha. He was impressed. What is the way of his cooking? Then, after that, he cooked and then fed him. And it was not to the satisfaction of the host. Then he said, Lord Chaitanya said, why are you so morose? You called me and you wanted me to feed prasad, but you did not make prasad also and you are looking so morose. Now, what's the problem? Then Ramdas Vipra simply said, I'm worried. I'm very much unhappy that I'm reading this description in Ramayana that Ravana touched Sita. How can that happen? Then Lord Chaitanya very elaborately explained that Ravana did not touch Sita. That was only an illusory Sita created by Agni. And she was happily staying with Agni and all that, he explained. Then he became happy and then he continued. Then Mahaprabhu continued his yatra. This happened in Madurai. Then at one place, Mahaprabhu hears some Brahmanas reciting Kurma Puran, same episode of Ramayana, where Ravana hid mother, original Sita, real Sita, and then presented an illusory Sita there. Then Mahaprabhu immediately remembered Ramdas Vipra. So he went to that reciters, Brahmana reciters, and asked, give me that manuscript. Original leaves you should give me, original copy you should give me. And I will give you Xerox copies. So means he copied those pages of Kurma Purana on new leaves and replaced them in the original Purana and he borrowed the original manuscripts and went back to Madurai and showed it to Ramdas Vipra and Ramdas Vipra became so happy. So just for one devotee who had one small question in some scripture, Mahaprabhu changed his itinerary because he's so simple. He did not even feed him properly. Mahaprabhu is not holding any grudge. So there Prabhupada, in all these purports, now Prabhupada just profusely writes, the Supreme Lord is not impressed with your scholarship and great accomplishments. He is impressed only by your alignment with Guru's orders and your simple faith and devotion in Krishna and Guru. Isya deve parabhaktir yatha deve tadha guru. All that he quotes, Prabhupada in his purports. So what is the real substance is revealed in Prabhupada's purports and in the main Bhagavatam. So now coming back to the gopis episode, although gopis are blaming Krishna that he has become Yadupati, he is more excited with the association of all the sophisticated ladies of Mathura and Dwaraka. He is not impressed with us. They may blame Krishna externally like that, but Krishna is more impressed with their simplicity, their innocence and their devotion than all the other Dwaraka and all the royal majestic paraphernalia. So, continuing with the gopis thing, fifth verse. Anyatha govraje yastasya smaraniyam nachakshmahe snehanubandho bandhunam muner apisudustyajaham.
We see nothing else he might consider worth remembering in these cow postures of Braja. Indeed, the bonds of affection for one's family member are difficult to break, even for a sage.
See, gopis are blaming Krishna. Anyatha govraje tasya smaraniyam na chakshmahe. Smaraniya means worth remembering. Na chakshmahe. Chakshu means eyes. Chakshmahe means to be able to see. Na chakshmahe means we are unable to see anything worth remembering in Vrindavan for Krishna. Krishna does not remember anything in Vrindavan. Anyatha govrajetasya. What is there in him? What is there in Vrindavan? Only cows are there, their dust is there, their dung is there, their urine is there. And their caretakers are there. Why Krishna should remember Vrindavan? Nothing is there, nothing exciting for Krishna in Vrindavan. He has gone back. He has gone to his great kingdom where so many palaces and sophisticated royal paraphernalia is there. So like that gopis are blaming Krishna. But Krishna's heart is always in Vrindavan. So this is a criticism of Krishna out of pure love and affection and uncontrolled devotion towards Krishna. So that is coming in the form of accusations, blames, criticism, like that. So gopis' criticism cannot be taken literally, right? That is their a display of their finer sentiments towards Krishna. So govraja means their wealth is only cows. So people like us cannot have a place in his memory. His hard disk is filled with royal kathas, royal paraphernalia, majestic interactions and dealings. He is involved in some political responsibilities, taking care of big cities, killing demons, lot of management for him, leadership management he is doing. And we are simple ladies, why will he remember us? So, but Krishna has given up all relation with countless gopis whom he enjoyed. What severe renunciation Krishna has. They are glorifying Krishna's renunciation. Sixth verse. Anyeshvartha-krita maitriye yavadartha-vidambanam pumbhistri-shukrita yadvat sumanashviva saptadaham shatpadaihi.
The friendship shown towards others, those who are not family members, is motivated by personal interest, and thus it is a pretense that lasts only until one's purpose is fulfilled. Such friendship is just like the interest man take in woman or bees in flowers.
Bees take interest in flowers as long as there is honey. Honey khatam ho gaya, bas, go to next flower. That's what Krishna is doing. So Krishna enjoyed his friendship with all of us, innocent cowherd boy, cowherd ladies. And then now he's changing parties. He's going somewhere else. Pumbhi stri shukrita yadvat sumana. Sumanahashu iva shatpadaihi. Shatpadaihi are bees. So the friendship that he has shown towards us is only self-motivated and pretentious friendship. It is not pure friendship. This is the accusation of the gopis. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, the gopis wanted only to exhibit their charms for Krishna's pleasure. And in the pain of separation, they questioned the motives of his friendship with them. Although gopis are very seriously and boldly questioning Krishna's motives directly, it is only a display of their affection and love for Krishna, not an indication of malice in Krishna. The gopis are saying you have to take that authentic, but they are in a different plane. So all these finer sentiments, ordinary people cannot understand. That's why they are not propagated and discussed often. Right? So these are the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Both Krishna and the gopis are completely liberated souls, engaged in spiritual loving affairs, not material. By contrast, our so-called loving affairs being perverted reflections of the perfect loving relationships in the spiritual world are polluted with lust, greed, pride, and so on. Like all liberated souls, the gopis and certainly Lord Krishna himself are eternally free of these lower qualities. And their intense loving affairs are motivated exclusively by unalloyed devotion and not by any malicious intentions or lust, etc. So, he is just using us and then he is going away. So, these are very gross description. Very grossly they are describing and criticizing Krishna. He is maintaining connection with a woman, and as long as he derives enjoyment from them, he is with them, and after that he goes to somewhere else. That's a very, very bold way of criticizing Krishna, but that should not be taken literal in a literal sense, and then some people will accuse Krishna of being immoral, etc., etc. But this has to be understood in context. Unless you have the background of 9 cantos of Bhagavatam and read the tenth canto first, all these 3 chapters, you cannot understand this song of B, Bhramara Gita. Right? So now directly you open 10.47 and read Bhramara Gita. You can't make any sense out of it. So it's not... That's why Prabhupada often condemns this practice of directly entering the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. So there should be a perfect background of understanding of Krishna's greatness and creation leela, srishti leela, before coming to rasa leela. So there are different Gita, Venu Gita, Gopi Gita, Viraha Gita, Yugala Gita, Bhramara Gita, Mahishi Gita. So before Bhagavad Gita, you cannot make any sense of any of these Gitas described in the 10th canto. Right? You can't make any sense out of it. And even after reading also, we cannot understand many of these things. Now Bhramara Gita will start from 12th chapter. I am not going to speak it. I'll jump. I'll go to the next verses. Let Radhika Prabhu come and speak. I'm not qualified. Radharani is speaking that. I will just take till 11th verse and jump over Bhramara Gita and continue the rest of the chapter. 7th verse. Nishvam tyajanti ganika akalpam nripatim praja adhita vidya acharyam ritvijo datta dakshinam nishvam tyajanti ganika. Ganika means prostitute. Nishvam means one who does not have money. Paisa hai kya? Nahi. You can't come in into our brothel house. Only if you have money, you can come. Like that. Nishvam tyajanti ganikaha. Ganika means prostitute can give you enjoyment as long as you have money. Your pocket is full. So, that is their only motivation in maintaining relationships with other men. Akalpam nripatim prajaha. Akalpam means incompetent. Nripati means king. Praja means citizens. So citizens will give up a king who is incompetent, who cannot have that leadership qualities, who cannot conduct the government properly. Such a king is rejected by the citizens. Hey, get lost. We'll put votes and then get more, a new prime minister, new chief minister, or new king, like that. Adhita Vidya Acharyam. Acharya means one who gives education. Adhita Vidya, as soon as the education is complete, students will not look at their professors. A pakka Kali Yuga attitude. How many professors you remember who taught you in your M.Tech, B.Tech, your +1, +2, first standard, second standard, you may remember once in a while, but Adhita Vidya Acharyam. Of course, all these things should not be taken very literally also. Ritvijo Datta Dakshinam. Datta Dakshinam. As soon as you give Dakshina, you forget Ritvija. Or the Ritvija will forget you also. Pujari will come, perform Yajna, ask Dakshina, 20,000 rupees. Kam mogetam nahi lenge hum. Right? Don't call us next time. 20,000 rupees Dakshina de do, nahi to 50,000 rupees Dakshina. And after taking Dakshina, they will not look at your face. Like that. So that is the quality of especially Kali Yuga priests. So gopis are saying all this. All these examples are a display of having no gratitude. No gratitude for receiving whatever blessings or favors or support that you receive from others. 8th verse, something similar. Khagavita phalam vriksham bhuktva chatithyato gruham dagdham margastatharanyam jara bhuktva ratam striyam. Khaga means birds. Khagavita phalam vriksham. Birds will give up a vriksha tree that does not give you fruits. Birds come to the tree only for fruits, nothing else. Then, bhuktva chatityato gruham, guests, a house after having eaten. Guests will come to a house for prasad, for food, and as soon as they are fed, they will go out. They will not look at the host again. Dagdham margas tatharanyam, animals will leave a forest that is burned down. Forest fire may, like entire forest is burned down. No animal will be inclined to live there. Then, jara bhuktva ratam striyam. And a lover, the woman has enjoyed even though she remains attached to him. They are coming to the topic of Krishna now. A lover enjoys the woman, and as soon as he doesn't derive any more pleasure from that woman, they will leave. Like that. They are called debauchees or whatever. So they are blaming Krishna this way. So who are they? They are the gopis, topmost devotees. We are supposed to follow in the footsteps of the gopis, and that is the ultimate attainable goal, sadhya. What is that verse? Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachi Dupasana Vrajavadhu Vargena Vakalpita. The topmost worship of Krishna is done by the gopis, and the topmost aspiration of especially a Gaudiya Vaishnava is to worship Krishna following in the footsteps of the gopis. So gopis are such topmost devotees and topmost worshipable personalities to set the ideal example of worshipping Krishna. Right? So these things too, we need to understand all these verses in context. In what context are they saying? Gopis are speaking to Uddhava about Krishna. What could be a more confidential discussion than this? Right? It's a most confidential discussion. So to read this, this is even more confidential than Rasleela, I can say. This Brahmara Gita. Iti gopyo hi govinde gatavakka yamanasa Krishna dute samayate Uddhave tyakta laukikah gayantyah priyakarmani rudantyascha gatahriyah tasya samsmritya samsmrityam yani kaishora balayoh.
Thus speaking, the gopis, whose words, bodies and minds were fully dedicated to Lord Govinda, put aside all their regular work, now that Krishna's messenger Sri Uddhava had arrived among them. Constantly remembering the activities their beloved Krishna had performed in his childhood and youth, they sang about them and cried without shame.
They cried without shame. Means for a woman to cry for another boy, in front of another boy, is not a Vedic custom. You don't, Vedic social etiquettes will not allow you to do that. But the devotees of Krishna give more prominence to love for Krishna than the social customs. We have one thematic compilation in Chaitanya Subodhini based on this theme only. Mahaprabhu wants to follow the social customs, regular etiquette, social etiquettes, so that public do not criticize him or he is not subjected to any public, criticism. So he wants to follow all the rules and regulations of sannyasa. But Mahaprabhu's devotees would not allow him to follow all those rules. Now Mahaprabhu's devotees are also in certain rasas with the Lord. Right? So if one does not find any negative like those dealings, if one cannot find any problem there, because both are in male bodies, same thing similar is happening here also. Gopis are in female bodies, Krishna is in male body, but the love is pure, spiritual. The love that is displayed by Mahaprabhu's associates on Mahaprabhu is as good as love displayed by gopis on Krishna. Some of the associates, may not be all. But there you don't question, here you question. Why? The male-female factor is there. There, both are in male bodies. There you don't question. The problem is in our mind. Male and female come together to enjoy. So gopis and Krishna are coming together to enjoy. Whatever is happening, there are some kind of different vibration will come because of our contaminated minds. But similar display of affection is being shown by Mahaprabhu's associates and Mahaprabhu. So it's beyond one's bodily structure. That is spiritual love. Right? Mahaprabhu's Kirtan Sankirtan and Krishna's Rasa Leela, both are same. You see the song book. There are two images, two paintings, top and bottom, both are same.
Right.
So constantly remembering the activities of their beloved Krishna, they sang them and cried without shame. So this is beyond social customs, beyond the physical, what is the sex? Sex is what? Gender is the right word. So what is the gender, beyond all these external things. That is pure loving reciprocation between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His energies. So unless one has this pure vision, he will always misunderstand the dealings between Krishna and the gopis. So they forgot all external considerations and wept openly before Krishna's messenger Uddhava. 11th verse. Kachin madhukaram drishtva dhyayanti Krishna sangamam priyaprasthapitam dutam kalpayitvedamabravit.
One of the gopis, while meditating on her previous association with Krishna, saw a honey bee before her and imagined it to be a messenger sent by her beloved. Thus she spoke as follows.
That gopi is Srimati Radharani. So what she spoke is called Bhramara Gita. So this describes Prajalpa, Pratijalpa, Parijalpa, Vijalpa, Ujjalpa, Sanjalpa, Avajalpa, Abhijalpa, Ajalpa, Pratijalpa, Sajalpa. They are all 10 kinds of jalpas. They are like great talks. So we will skip this. Come to 22nd verse. So that Radhika Vallabhra will cover next week. He is coming Monday, Tuesday. Shri Shuka Uvacha Athodhavo Nisham Mievam Krishna Darshana Lalasaha Santvayan Priya Sandeshair Gopir Idama Bhashata.
The gopis, who were most eager to see Lord Krishna, he thus began relating to them the message of their beloved.
So now Uddhava is reading his message, the letter, loving love letter, written by Krishna to the gopis, sent through Uddhava. What could be more confidential than this? But in this confidential letter, there is a lot of philosophy, which does not appeal to gopis, but which is relevant for us. So we'll discuss their perception and then our relevance also. Sri Uddhava Uvacha Ahoyoyam Sma Purnartha Bhavatyo Loka Pujita Vasudeve Bhagavati Yasamityarpitam Manaha.
Shuddhava said, certainly you gopis are all successful and are universally worshipped because you have dedicated your minds in this way to Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudev.
So, Uddhava is glorifying the exalted position of the gopis. Aho yuyam svapuranartha, svapuranartha, bhavatyo lokapujitaihi. Bhavatyo loka pujitehe. Just now he has heard Bhramara Gita from Srimati Radharani. What else he can say? You are loka pujitaha. All the residents of entire cosmos should worship your lotus feet because you have developed such great devotion towards Krishna. Aho, yuyam. Yuyam means out of respect. He is respectfully addressing them. One cannot become familiar with Krishna's eternal concerts. One has to be very respectfully approaching them. Like that. If Uddhava is showing respect, what about anyone else? So this kind of display of affection towards Krishna is never seen, never heard, and most amazing and most outstanding. 24th verse. Dhanavrata tapo homa japasvadhyaya samyamaihi shreyo bhirvividhaischanyaihi krishne bhaktirhi sadhyate. So dana, vrata, tapa, homa. You understand meanings, right? Charity, vrata is vows, tapa is austerities, homa is all the sacrifices, japa, some chanting of mantras, svadhyaya, Vedic study, samyamaihi, by following regulative principles, shreya means by any other auspicious practices. Eight items. So these eight items in themselves cannot produce bhakti. They are accompaniments of bhakti, and these may have a certain place in bhakti. You may have to do some japa, tapa, dana, etc. But in themselves, they are not produce bhakti. They cannot. Vividhaischa anyaihi. Krishne bhaktir hi sadhyate. They cannot produce bhakti. They are all various angas of bhakti. Next. 25th verse. And purport to say, stop. The vrata means ekadashi vrata. Tapa means renunciation from sense gratification, all that, for Krishna's sake. So all this have to be done in relation with Krishna. Then it is bhakti. If it is not done, charity, a beggar dikhaya, then give him some money. Then I am a charitable person. Not that way. There should be connection with Krishna. Give him some prasad and connect him to Krishna consciousness. That is a wonderful charity, that way. And he will take the donation and then go to into bar and then they'll smoke some BD or something like that. Then what kind of charity is that? Charities are also in different modes. Bhagavad Gita says, 25th verse. Bhagavatyuttama shloke bhavata bhir anuttama bhaktihi pravartita dishtya muninam abidurlabha. Bhagavatyuttama shloke bhavati bhir anuttama. So, towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are having such unexcelled, anuttama means supreme form of bhakti, unexcelled standard of pure devotion. That's great fortune. Bhaktihi pravartita dishtya muninam api durlabha. Great sages also cannot attain this kind of devotion. You simple cowherd ladies attain this. So, all these cowherd girls, these gopis, they are way superior to great sages also. Munis, tapasvis, who have renounced everything in the entire cosmic manifestation. They have no attachments only. They have dedicated themselves completely in search of the absolute truth or whatever. But they cannot excel devotion of the gopis. Anuttama. Anuttama means there is no comparison. No one can excel. Unexcelled. So following you means you have ragatmika bhakti. One who follows you can become a raganuga bhakta. At the max, one can attain raganuga stage by following the footsteps of the gopis. But that raga has been embraced or has been internalized and assimilated by the gopis. In the samvad between Ramanandra and Lord Chaitanya, in the Madhya Leela 8th chapter, first question that Mahaprabhu asked him is, what is the sadhya, highest attainable goal? Then starting from Varanashrama, Ramanandra keeps on giving so many proposals. Varanashrama, then Swadharmatyaga, that is Swadharma Acharana, then Swadharmatyaga, Krishna Karmarpana, Swadharma Acharana, Krishna Karmarpana, Swadharma Tyaga, Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Shunya Bhakti, then comes Prema Bhakti, and in that there is Vaidhi Bhakti, there is Raga Bhakti, and beyond that is Dasya Bhakti, then there is Vatsalya, then Sakya, then Vatsalya, then Kanta Prema. Kanta Prema is conjugal love. And amongst that also, Mahaprabhu says, Agevadu, you speak something higher. He says, there is no one in the cosmic manifestation who ever questioned beyond this. Only you can question. So, okay. Amongst those devotees who have Kanta Prema also, Srimati Radharani is the superior. The highest attainable sadhya finds its perfection in Srimati Radharani. That is to love Krishna. She is the topmost lover of Krishna. So after that, then he elaborates on that. After that, Mahaprabhu asks, I have heard about sadhya from you, highest attainable goal. But what about sadhana? What sadhana should be performed to attain that sadhya? Then Ramanandra explains Raganuga Bhakti. Raganuga Bhakti means, so all these gopis are have internalized their conjugal affection towards Krishna. So to attain that goal of developing similar love for Krishna, one has to follow the sadhana of following in their footsteps. That is Raganuga stage. So before that, we need to do Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti by following all regulative principles before even discussing that. This is a context, that's why we are discussing. So here, Acharya has write this purport. Raganuga Bhakti will be spread as a practice in future because you are having Ragatmika Bhakti and following your footsteps, the process of Raganuga process will come in future, and by following that Raganuga stage only one can attain love for Krishna as the way gopis have attained, like that. So this is the goal, this is the good fortune of people in general, that you have set the right example. So power of seeing and hearing you. Vikreditam vrajavadhubirimam cha. That is not yet covered. 10.33. That also Radhikavalapuru will take. 33. So your bhakti consisting of Mahabhava is Nitya Siddha. It is eternally a part of you. So this is unparalleled, unexcelled, anuttama. He glorifies their devotion before reading their letter, Krishna's letter. Dishtya putran patin dehan. Svajanan bhavanani cha. Hitva vrinita yuyam yat. Krishnakhyam purusham param. Dishtya, by your good fortune, putran, patin, dehan, svajanan, bhavanan, you have given up all this. Pati sutanvayat, bhratru bandhavat, ati vilanghyate, achyutagata. Gati virastavo, udgita mohitaha, kitava yoshitaha, kastya jenmishi. So, for the sake of Krishna, you have given up everything. Right? Putra, da, pati, deha, everything you have given up. So that is great fortune. What is greatest fortune? To be able to give up everything for Krishna is the greatest fortune. That fortune is attained by the gopis. By your great fortune, you have left home, sons, husbands, bodily comforts, etc., etc. So Krishna is the Krishnakhyam Purusham Param. Purusham Param means the supreme male. Who is that? Krishnakhyam. He is known as Krishna. If there is one supreme male in the entire cosmic manifestation, he is known as Krishna. That is a description. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says, gopis gave up their sense of possessiveness towards other objects. History shows that gopis remained in Vrindavan, living in their houses, with their families. What they have given up? One may question like that. However, their living in Vrindavan, their own village, they did not come out of the village only. They are stuck to their own village. Although Krishna is in Mathura, they are not coming to Mathura. They are not leaving Vrindavan. So why are you glorifying them like this? They have given up everything for Krishna. Logic, eh, na? Krishna is in Mathura. They could not give up their own village and home to come and see Krishna. Then why are you glorifying him, glorifying them that they have given up everything for Krishna's sake? Their being in their village, their being in their house, their being in their amongst their relatives and other Vrajavasis is not like ordinary persons. They entirely renounced the egoistical sense of possession of the sons and husbands and other people. Pati sutanvayat bhratrubandhavat, they are living with them, they have no sense of possessiveness. In any ordinary household, the wife has a sense of possessiveness towards the husband. Husband has a sense of possessiveness towards the wife. Parents have a sense of possessiveness towards their children. Children have a sense of possessiveness towards their parents and other brothers and sisters and the house and household paraphernalia, everything. But although all these Vrajavasis, especially the gopis, are living in their houses in their own village, they have no sense of possessiveness, but whatever they possess, including their own selves, is a possession of Krishna. That is their understanding. So, all these verses are relevant. Dishtya, putran, patin, dehan, svajanan, bhavananicha. So, this glorification of gopis by Uddhava is not wrong at all. So, they never try to enjoy them, but rather give their whole heart and mind to the Supreme Lord, as reminded in the greatest scriptures of the world. Following the example of the gopis, we should love the Supreme Lord with all our heart, soul and might. Right? So, because Krishna loves Vrindavan, Krishna loves the cows, Krishna loves the Vrajavasis, Krishna loves the gopis, gopis are living in Vrindavan with the cows, with the other Vrajavasis, with the other gopis. Because it is Krishna's affection. Because Krishna loves them, we want to be around them to give him pleasure. Because they have decided that their entire existence is meant only for Krishna's pleasure. If we don't serve Krishna in this way, how can Krishna derive any pleasure at all in his life? They know. It's not out of their pride or overconfidence. They know Krishna's heart. What gives Krishna pleasure? Because they have complete understanding of Krishna's needs and Krishna's desires. They are giving their complete existence to fulfill those desires of Krishna and give him pleasure. That's why they are living in Vrindavan. Krishna gets the maximum, topmost pleasure in the entire cosmic manifestation, in the entire spiritual and material worlds, only in Vrindavan. That's why the gopis are staying in Vrindavan. Like that. If Vrindavan is not exciting to Krishna, it is not exciting to the gopis also. But Vrindavan is most exciting to Krishna. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanaya Taddhama Vrindavanam. Krishna's dham is Vrindavan. That's why they are staying in Vrindavan. And they are calling Krishna to Vrindavan. The other day we discussed why Srimati Radharani, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Radharani, is calling Krishna, calling Jagannath, come to Vrindavan, come to Vrindavan. Right? Like that. So following the example of the gopis, we should also love the Supreme Lord with all our heart, soul and might. Following gopis is a big thing. Why this kind of recommendation is given? It's too high, too lofty. It's like beyond our capacity. We should love the Supreme Lord with all our heart and soul. However, we are small. The tests that we receive are also small. The capacity or the output we can give is also small. When an instruction is given to us, we can certainly fulfill that instruction to our best. With all our heart, soul and might, we may not have the heart like the gopis, but we have some heart, right? That heart you give to Krishna. We may not have the might of gopis, but we have some might. We might have some might. That might you give to Krishna. You have some ability to serve. You have some ability to love. You have some ability to appreciate and glorify. Do all that. With all that you can glorify Krishna. You can serve Krishna. Is it not? Do to your extent. Trinadapi sunichayana tarorapi sahishnuna. Someone hears this verse and they get scared. Trinadapi sunichayana. Means anyone stamps on you, you want to bend your head low. It's too much. Yeah, you may not be able to imitate Trina, but in your own context, with your own ability, within your capacity, you can always be humble. And try to increase that capacity, to display humility. You ask someone to make your plate for lunch. Ganganath Prabhu was asking someone to make his plate. Morning he was in my room and then it was getting late and he told Sarvagna Kesha Prabhu to make his plate. Kichdi, non-spicy. If he forgets to make the plate, so then there is one opportunity for us to become humble. He will not bother. He is humble already. So that's an opportunity for us to tolerate. So that much tolerance we can show. That much humility we can show. Is it not? So we may not have so much humility or tolerance like Mother Earth or Trina or a tree, but some tolerance we can always exhibit, right? So like that we can increase our tolerance, we can increase our humility. So some people will say that it's too lofty. Why are you always discussing these lofty descriptions? Where is gopis and where are you? I mean, yes, they are too lofty, but we can, ultimately we need to follow those high principles and we need to increase our capacity to follow. We need to upgrade our capacity. For that we need constant inspiration. So we need to revisit those principles every now and then, so that we are inspired to follow and imbibe those qualities. Tranadapi sunichyana tarorapi sahishnana. We should constantly recite this, every day recite this, although it's beyond our capacity. So that if not trana, maybe 0.0001% of trana humility we can exhibit. If not taru, at least 0.1% of tolerance that the taru exhibits, so we can also try to imbibe and increase. 0.0001, right? Try to reduce 1010 gradually and make it 0.1 and make the digit come beyond this point. So like that we need to attempt, right? We need to increase our capacity. So at our own stage, we can always love the Supreme Lord with all our heart, soul and might, following the example of the gopis. With all our heart, not their heart. Their heart is too big. It's too much for us to imitate that, follow that. But with whatever we can, our capacity. So do your best. That's what is expected. That's what illiterate Brahmana was doing. He could not scholarly way study and analyze Bhagavatam. But following his guru's instructions, he can recite, although the pronunciation is not proper. So he's doing that. And Lord Chaitanya is impressed with him. Do your best. And he got highest ecstasy. And it was revealed to that illiterate Brahmana that Lord Chaitanya is non-different from Krishna. And there are so many Brahmanas around. But why that Brahmana only understood that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, none other than Krishna? Because of his simple devotion. He did not exhibit any scholarship. Prabhupada writes, the Lord is not impressed by your erudite scholarship. Erudite scholarship, but he is impressed with your simple devotion. That's what the illiterate Brahmana exhibited in the Srirangam abode. Right? So everyone has their own capacity. With all their might, with all their capacity, they have to engage in Krishna service. You cannot underperform. If you underperform, then it's like not displaying your full love and full might, etc., etc. So one needs to do one's best. One cannot withdraw his potencies, withdraw his skills, withdraw his time, withdraw his energy in his service to Krishna. If you hold your energies and your might back, then Krishna also will hold his mercy back. 27th verse. Sarvatma bhavodhikarkrito bhavatinam adhokshaje virahena mahabhagam mahanme nugraha kritaha.
You have rightfully claimed the privilege of unalloyed love for the transcendental Lord, O most glorious gopis. Indeed, by exhibiting your love for Krishna in separation from Him, you have shown me great mercy.
see the extent of Uddhava's fortune. He said, Sarvatma Bhavo Adhikrito. So, Sarvatma Bhava means all bhavas. Adhikrito means you have the adhikar for all bhavas. So, you have wholeheartedly loved Krishna and you had the privilege of unalloyed love for the Lord, who is Sarvatma. O most glorious gopis, bhavatinam virahena mahabhaga. Indeed, by exhibiting your love for Krishna in separation from him, virahena mahabhaga mahan me anugraha kritaha. So, you have exhibited your anugraha, mercy upon me by having such devotion. If gopis are having that devotion, if they are experiencing feelings of separation from Krishna in their devotion, in their mood, how is it a mercy upon Uddhava? So that's a astonishing thing. So gopis showed not only Uddhava, but the whole world the joy of love of Godhead. What the gopis are experiencing is the joy of Krishna Prema. So this is the joy. So, by seeing them, one will also be inspired that I should also have this kind of joy. Maybe to some small extent, I should have some joy. So, that is the mercy. So, and thus they bestowed their mercy on everyone. Loving devotion was executed in an appropriate way. Their love brought the Supreme Lord under their control. Still, to show the intensity of their love, he apparently left them. But now, he again manifested himself amongst them, becoming spiritually present through their intense devotion. So, the love of the gopis obliged Krishna to spiritually be present in their midst through their devotion. So, this kind of display of affection and love for Krishna is an unparalleled example, and that display is definitely the greatest blessing upon people in general, towards the entire humanity. Uddhava says, I am mantruptu ho gaya, they say like that. I am so satisfied, I feel so fortunate, I feel so blessed to witness such a display of wonderful affection towards Krishna. To be able to see an example of a wonderful devotee who has such great devotion and love for Krishna, who has such great service attitude towards Krishna, is the greatest blessing. To witness such an example is the greatest blessing, it's the greatest fortune, we need to realize that. To be able to see a pure devotee is not a joke. So, he is having that kind of attitude, Uddhava. That is a fortune. So, like if one has not experienced such a separation from Krishna, he would not have been sent here. I would not have observed this great wonder of Mahabhava. So Krishna, this Gopi sir, Uddhava is saying that if you don't have that great devotion, Krishna would not have worried and concerned about you, my dear Gopis. So because you have such devotion, Krishna had sent me to you. And I got this darshan of this great Mahabhava that you are exhibiting. So that's my great fortune. So your having such devotion is my fortune to be able to see it. Last verse. Shruyatam priya sandesho. Bhavatinam sukhavaham. Yamadayagato bhadra. Aham bhartu rahaskaraham. So now, the gopis may ask, a very interesting link between the 27th and 28th verse. Gopis might ask, what is the use of praising us and yourself, Uddhava? You came here to pacify us. You came here to mitigate our sorrow. You came here to give the message of Krishna. Reveal that first. Like that the gopis might say. So because so far, Uddhava, what he was doing? He was just simply praising the gopis. And now in 27th verse, he said he praised himself also. I am very fortunate to see your devotion. Stop this praising business. Just tell what Krishna wants us to tell. Like that. Aham bhartu rahaskaraha. The rarest position of Uddhava is also very much glorified here. Because he said, my dear good ladies, now please hear your beloved's message, which I, the confidential servant of my master, have come here to bring you. So, I cannot understand what Krishna said. Uddhava said, I cannot understand what Krishna said, but you gopis might understand what he said. I will just read the letter. So, with that attitude, Uddhava started speaking to the gopis. So, what he spoke, we'll discuss tomorrow. 12:59, again 1 minute before I ended. Thank you all very much. Granthraya Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.